And we're going to bring in Gareth Wheeler in a second. 8 a.m. tomorrow on TSN 1050, Canada-Sweden gold medal women's soccer at the Olympics. Gareth Wheeler is the one soccer lead commentary. Gareth, how are you today?
How are two of my favorite people in this industry? How are both you guys doing today?
Very good. And, you know, they moved this thing because everybody was going to melt. So I guess we could actually get into the actual matchup. How do you see this?
No kidding. Damian Warner, I think, didn't he say today that he was burning his hands when he touched the javelin? You're dealing with 40-degree heat. It would have been ridiculous for the women to play tonight, which would have been great for us. Instead, we're up bright and early tomorrow where, let's be honest here, Canada might have slayed the dragon, but they have another one coming up in Sweden tomorrow. Canada will be the underdogs. And although there's this feeling around the team that they've already won something, I mean, it's the gold medal on the line tomorrow, right? Like, they've accomplished their goal. They're going to change the medal color from bronze to something else. But, man, oh, man, when you get this close to actually reaching the top of the podium, you know that the women are going to leave it out there on the field tomorrow. Should be a great game.
Wheels, always strikes me as there's two kinds of silver medalists. They're the ones that are in the race and think, I should have won gold, and silver's a huge disappointment. And then there's the silver medalists that, boy, was it great to get to that point. And when I watched Team Canada against the Americans in what I didn't think, you know, my vast soccer knowledge, what I didn't think was a great performance, I really do wonder how they're going to, never mind the heat, hold up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a great question, Steve. To be honest with you, I don't think they played that great over this entire tournament. But that's the nature of a 12-team tournament, right? Like, there's only 12 teams on the women's side of Olympic soccer. So essentially, get out of your group, and every group has a weaker side, a weaker team in it. So Canada managed to do that. They beat Brazil in penalties in a game, again, that they were outplayed. Same thing against the Americans, but through commitment, through desire, through that ability to grind their way through a game, they've ended up in a gold medal game while really not playing their best. So Sweden's been a powerhouse. They beat the United States 3-0 in their first game and kind of haven't looked back at that. And this is a completely new feeling because both in London and in Rio, all we remember about the Canadian women, it's not losing that semifinal game. It's leaving with a win, like winning the bronze medal game. So it's going to be interesting to see how the nation perceives them because, I mean, beating the U.S., I don't care when it is, it's a big deal, especially this American women's team. But I kind of feel like you're leaving something on the table if you don't come away with the gold medal tomorrow.
So, Wheels, give us some strategy here. I mean, if you are the Team Canada coach, how do you approach this?
I think you have to approach it pragmatically like you've been approaching it this entire tournament. This team doesn't score goals, Jim. Like, they have a real trouble putting the ball into the back of the net. They haven't scored, 120 minutes against Brazil. They scored a penalty kick, a debatable one against the United States. And in the build-up to the tournament, I was calling their games in the She Believes Cup and all these friendlies. And they don't create many chances either. So it's going to be defend, and defend a little bit more. Hopefully they catch Sweden on the counterattack, a team that they're familiar with. They lost to Sweden at the 2019 World Cup, controversially so. Christine Sinclair didn't take a penalty at that time. But that's the way forward, unfortunately. Defend diligently and hope.
You know, we've all watched Christine Sinclair do remarkable things over the years and become the face and of Canadian soccer, or Canadian women's soccer, certainly, and maybe one of the faces of world women's soccer. But that moment in the past game against the Americans where she gave off the penalty kick.
Yeah.
It's like Wayne Gretzky saying, okay, somebody else take the shot.
I know.
And we're still talking about Gretzky not shooting in Nagano in 98. And here's Christine Sinclair. It's right there. And she had the confidence in that moment, or knew enough about what she was feeling at that time to be able to make that kind of determination.
Well, what's incredible is that happened in 2019 when they lost to Sweden at the World Cup. It was Jeanine Becky who stepped up and took it. They had a penalty early in this tournament against Chile. Guess what? Jeanine Becky stepped up and took that penalty kick, not Christine Sinclair. In the shootout against Brazil, Sinclair was the first shooter, and she missed. And then she gives it to Jesse Fleming from London, Ontario, who made no mistake. It was a great finish, great penalty take. And so, look, Steve, I don't know what the psychology is behind that, because Christine Stills takes penalties for her club side in Portland. So it's a very bizarre situation. Let's be honest here. Christine Sinclair at 38 isn't what she was at 28. It isn't the player that she was at 34. I think she's hurt. She's battled injuries just to make it this far to play in the Olympics. She's not finishing games. She's coming off as a substitute. I think there's a lot of wear and tear on that body. It's been a wonderful career, but Father Time is undefeated. She just needs to find a way to get through this game, perhaps be the difference maker when that time comes about. But I think there is a little bit of a passing of the torch going on within this Canadian women's national team.
And when you watched her, when she took herself out against the Americans, her face was, how do I explain it, was like the way your face goes when you get a cramp in your legs. Like, her face was contorting. And and I thought, you know, I thought at that point she had to be hurting very badly to be pulling herself out.
Well, it was interesting. She didn't play against a Great Britain, a game where they could have gone on to win the group and would have had an easier path to the finals. She didn't play in a lot of the preseason. She went down. She actually didn't play in the She Believes Cup. She had a walking boot on her foot, but they haven't kind of disclosed what that injury is. And then in a warm-up game, I think it was against Wales, she went out injured in like 30 minutes as well. I just don't think she's right, Steve. I don't think she's fit. Here's the interesting conversation, because it's long been told that, you know, Sinclair's a legend. She can play as long as she wants to. What if Canada goes on and wins this game? Is this her last major tournament? Does she say goodbye and not try to go on and play in the 2023 Women's World Cup or the next Olympic Games? I think there'll be a decision to make, because you know what it's like when you're an elite athlete and your body starts letting you down. It's got to be frustrating for the ultimate competitor, because, you know, you were in London, those fresh scenes, 3-3, United States, you know, going back and forth, the passion and desire that she's always had. I think you're right. It's just a completely different expression this time around.
So let's deal with the time change on two levels. I mean, what have you ever done at 8 in the morning soccer-wise? And now that the game is later at night in Tokyo, is that a factor?
Growing up when you're a kid, much just like hockey or baseball, you play in tournaments all over the place. It actually would have been at 11 a.m. The kickoff would have been if it was tonight. Instead, they're going to be playing at 9 p.m. So, I mean, the temperature, the conditions are going to be completely different. But this is when Canada's generally been playing their games over the course of this tournament. So I think it would have been much more difficult for both Sweden and Canada. You know, take away the conditions, the quick turnaround playing a morning game rather than an evening or a night game, it would have been a real challenge for both sides. So I think this is going to be familiar. I think it's more about playing your opponent than the conditions in this one. So I think it actually suits both teams really well, and hopefully it makes for a really good gold medal game.
It was a long time ago that Canadians fell in love with this team, and Canadians took ownership of sorts of this team, which isn't our nature when it comes to this kind of thing. And I think what happens tomorrow, Wheels, is people are going to feel great about this team if they win tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be celebration.
Yeah.
But even if they don't win tomorrow, that victory over the United States, you know, the bullies of soccer, if you want to call them that, or the best, you know, depending on which way you're going to look at it. I think people are going to be so proud of this group no matter what.
Yeah, they will be. But that's typically like, that's the way that it's been with this women's national team. They receive very little criticism, Steve, even when they play poorly. I find it a little bit awkward at times, because under their previous head coach, Kenneth Heiner-Muller, the team was not only just bang average, but they were boring. And what Bev Priestman's brought to this team in a very quick turnaround since taking over in November, she's made them a more entertaining group. She's made them more lively. I'm not suggesting that the team should or would be criticized, but criticism really doesn't come their way anyways, right? They're already kind of, I'd say the most popular women's team sports group in this country. I don't think there's much debating that. And in 2012, galvanized the country, right? Like, although it was 9 years ago now, it's just, it's still with all of us. What happened getting robbed the way they did against the United States? So look, it's a great achievement. I don't think that they played their best. They deserve the praise that they get. And I think there's something to be said about being likable. Like, they're present, they're out there, they're their own biggest fans, they support one another. It's just a real likable bunch, and it's very hard to criticize even when they don't play at their best.
Wheels, what was your take on Messi leaving Barcelona?
Oh, my God. Well, one, let's see if this actually happens. I mean, this is kind of like, in soccer terms, this doesn't happen, right? A breakup or a potential breakup between Barcelona and Lionel Messi. I think this goes beyond like LeBron going to Miami or going to L.A. or I'm sure we can think of a number of things in sports where a player leaves a franchise that they're so closely associated with to go to another one for whatever reason. But Barcelona's being forced here. Like, Messi was in Barcelona ready to sign a new contract, but because the team is over $1 billion in debt, and now La Liga, basically the Gary Bettman of La Liga, Javier Tebas, is saying, you need to get your books in order. He's not allowing the club to sign, you know, the most iconic player in club history and one of the best players in the world. And I know it caught international headlines, you know, this whole push for a Super League that Real Madrid and Barcelona were part of. Well, this is part of the reason, because COVID has hit Spanish football and these clubs more than anyone else. They are broke. They have no money. They're trying to find new streams to generate revenue. And I think it's a little bit of a staring contest now. It's Barcelona versus La Liga. Are you actually going to force Barcelona not to re-sign the most watchable player that they have in La Liga? And remember, ESPN TSN just signed a new broadcast contract, with La Liga as well. So I don't think that this story is anywhere near close to being finished, but it's a shocking headline, and it just reeks of politics more than anything else.
So if you're a betting man, where does Messi next play?
My gosh. What if I said Miami, Steve? Would you take my bet?
Well, the good part about that is the stadium is about 5 minutes from my condo.
Property prices increase right
yes.
there. Look, I think the betting odds right now would be on Barcelona. I'm not sure if you caught the story, but basically like a private equity firm came in and is trying to purchase 10% of La Liga. That's like, you know, the equivalent of, you know, someone, an outsider trying to come in and purchase 10% of the NHL. And obviously, Real Madrid and Barcelona don't want any of this. So perhaps there's a deal to be struck before this really gets out of control. But who knows? They're putting the fund in dysfunction. The question then goes to who can afford Lionel Messi, a guy that made $1 million per week on his last contract. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, is owned by a nation state. They're owned by Qatar. Like the royal family of Qatar, money isn't an issue. They already paid Neymar a ridiculous sum of money. They're the most likely team to go pick them up. But listen, if I'm in Major League Soccer, if I'm Don Garber, the commissioner, and you can have Lionel Messi without paying a transfer fee, all you got to do is pay him a ridiculous sum of money, wouldn't you do it? Like, I would bend and break all the rules to bring Lionel Messi to MLS because they'll sell jerseys. Hey, they're on the verge of negotiating a new television contract. If you get a Lionel Messi on national television every week, I think there's a massive play there. I don't know. If I'm MLS, if I'm Don Garber, if I'm Inter Miami, I am making that call to see, one, if there's interest. Lionel Messi was just vacationing in Miami, by the way. And two, to see what ridiculous sum of money it would cost to bring Lionel Messi to Major League Soccer.
Wheels, get some rest. 8 a.m. comes pretty fast.
It's going to be fun tomorrow. It's a pleasure, gentlemen. Keep up the great work. I miss both of you. Hopefully I can see you both soon.
Likewise. Yeah, we miss you too, Wheels. Gareth Wheeler, One Soccer lead commentator, of course, has the play-by-play Canada against Sweden for the gold medal women's soccer game tomorrow, 8 a.m. on TSN 1050.